Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here with another video, and as you can tell by the sound of my voice, I'm actually better now. I had a bit of a stint where I was pretty sick with a chest infection and everything, so I'm back and I want to start addressing some of the stuff that's been going on in the Counter-Strike scene while I've kind of been laid up in bed and resting. And the first thing is Hiko's Real Talk video slash stream that he did. Now, for those of you who missed it, I don't think many of you will. If you watch my videos, certainly this stream of Hiko's will have been of great interest to you. But basically, Hiko is no longer with Team Liquid, currently a free agent, and he decided to go on his personal stream and explain what had happened with him leaving Team Liquid and his stand-in period when he was at Optic Gaming. And I'm sure this will be of immense interest to anybody that's kind of even vaguely interested in the professional scene. The reason for this being, we don't see pro players open up and talk honestly very often. In fact, quite the opposite. Usually it's all, let's keep secrets. Yeah, let's be professional. Let's not talk about things that are happening. Let's sign NDAs. Let's do gentlemen's agreements and handshakes and all of this sort of nonsense. So very often, the fan, sometimes even the journalist, is left wondering why things occurred, and it's always great when we get a perspective that comes out and at least gives their version of events. Now, what I want to do in this video today is kind of give my own perspective with what's been happening over at Team Liquid, contextualize it historically in things that always seem to be happening over at Team Liquid, let's be honest. Talk a little bit about what it means for Hiko. And also as well, because Alige got a lot of shit, and I gave him some shit, certainly. I want to kind of give the flip side of that coin, flip side of the argument, which I think is very important to understand and grasp, that, there are no villains in this particular piece. This is just the reality of a competitive team. This is what all teams are like. Certainly not to Team Liquid's degree. Team Liquid is a dysfunctional organization. As you'll see in just a moment, I've covered Team Liquid extensively. I've got a level of access I don't have with every organization. I've got sources that are always willing to open up and talk to me, that are all close to the organization and know how it operates. And this is why Steve Arnset, the owner, co-owner of Team Liquid, has very often publicly come out and just lied to everybody and said, "Oh, Richard Lewis makes his stuff up," because he knows, and I know that I know exactly what's going on. And certainly, they don't do everything perfectly, and I've actually handled some situations terribly. So this is the first thing to understand, that when Hiko moves to Team Liquid initially, Hiko is meant to be the star. Indeed, at that time, the way things were with that particular lineup, Hiko absolutely was a big name and somebody they wanted to bring in. He was coming in, I believe, for Flow Sick. And people at the time didn't like the report I'm about to show you. I don't know why. I literally don't know why this blew up and got me a lot of negativity. But this is my report that I did when I was working at the Daily Dot. And you can see here that Hiko is Team Liquid's first choice. Salary demands the only stumbling point. And basically, what this report opened up, other than a fucking can of worms, was that Hiko obviously was aware of his own value. Big name player, had been associated with some of the best teams in North America, still had a very good individual level of performance. And when he went to Team Liquid, he was being very particular about his salary demands. Now, understand, I'm not saying that is a bad thing, but what he was looking for was a much higher salary than the rest of the teammates that were on there. And this is, again, all linked to the way that Hiko had been in other teams. Like, I believe when he was at Neelam, one of they had a sponsorship almost specifically just to fund Hiko, pretty much. And that was because that he was worth it. Even before you even talk about what he would do in game and what he could do on the server, Hiko is just worth it as a brand. Hiko is one of the few players that is aware of his own value as a brand. Hiko knows he can go on a stream, for example, and get thousands of people to tune in just to listen to him talk. which is indeed what happened the other day. Hiko knows that people will buy hats, they'll buy merchandise, they're interested in what he does. He's a very likable and personable player. Now, when I put this report out, it seemed to offend everybody. I think even Hiko, if we're being honest about it. Me and Spencer, you know, I consider him a friend. I consider him somebody I have a lot of respect for and a lot of time for. But we don't always see eye to eye. I don't think he liked the joke with the sign all that much until we had a chat about it. I was like, look, oh, you know, obviously, just a mum joke, sorry. And he's like, yeah, all right, fuck it. All the other shit kind of seems ridiculous by contrast. I don't think he liked this report where I think the inference by some was, oh, he's being greedy. And that's not what I was saying at all. In fact, the report was just the facts. It wasn't making any sweeping statement about whether it's greedy or not. Players should be negotiating individual salaries. Understand my stance. Teams should not be all paid, paying their players all the same. It doesn't work like that in sports. You don't pay Messi the same as your reserve goalkeeper at Barcelona. You don't do it because Messi's the fucking godhead, right? He can do anything with a football. So you pay him as much as you have to pay him to make him stay because he's worth it. He's worth it in merchandising. He's worth it in what he does on the field. He's worth it in every way a player can be worth breaking the bank for. And Hiko, while maybe not to that same extent, certainly not the Messi of North American Counter-Strike, Hiko is definitely a player that adds value to a brand. And at the time, Team Liquid were kind of up and down, fluctuating, you know, wanted to be the best, wanted to spend money, but, you know, were having issues getting the best out of their roster. Now, Hiko joined, and this is why this part of the story is important, because think about that. All their existing players who were there had to know and maybe read this report or already knew internally because people talked that Spencer was coming in and was going to likely get paid more than them. And the justification for that wasn't even based on performances in the team because he hadn't done anything at that point. It was simply reputation, respect, brand. So obviously that might put a few people's noses out of joint, or certainly it might be something to hold on to and think about moving forward. Now, put that to one side for a second. Just shelve that information, if you will, and let's talk about Team Liquid as an organization. Team Liquid as an organization, as I said, I describe them as dysfunctional. I think it's really tragic. I want to like Team Liquid. I really do. I like the way they've spent money to be the best in Counter-Strike. You know, for example, look at Cooster. When they picked Cooster up, it was handled poorly, I think. I think we can all maybe say there was perhaps a little bit of jiggery pokery going on behind the scenes, but ultimately Counter-Strike's not bound by the same rules as League of Legends, so it doesn't really fucking matter. You just have to suck that up. You might not like it if you're somebody that's developed the talent, but when the big orgs come a-calling, you got to name your price and let him go, and you know, that certainly happened. Lawyers were brought in to kind of hush that up, but I think there was a couple of what you might describe as inappropriate approaches by Team Liquid. But you know, I might not like that, but I like the fact they went after Cooster. I like the fact that it was the right move. I like the fact they identified what should have been the most exciting prospect in North American Counter-Strike and said, right, fuck it, get the checkbook out. Love that. Love that. What's there not to like about an organization that is trying to be the best by any means necessary? But equally, I got to say that they don't handle their star players, their teams, their rosters, their lineups particularly well. It's almost as if they're too hands off, and all of their teams to some degree or another have come across as really dysfunctional. I'll draw your attention because you'd be Counter-Strike fans, right? So you don't think, and nothing wrong with this, you might not think holistically about how an organization works in the same way I do, because obviously I cover multiple esports and I'm interested in all esports across the board, why I've worked in so many. Now, if we go back here and we'll have a look at this report, this is what happened in League of Legends. This is a guy called Quaz. Now, Quaz was a top laner. This is again by another journalist, Sam Lingle, who I've got a lot of respect for, former co-worker of mine. And basically what happened was that there had been an incident at the house. Now, this incident has been covered up, and nobody ever talks about it, and everyone will come out and deny it. I know what this incident is. This video isn't really to talk about it, but let's just say that Diego Ruiz, Quaz, lovely guy, was having serious mental health problems that were not identified by the organization, and this culminated with what they call, in air quotes, an incident. Now, this incident was pretty serious, but could have been avoided with some hands-on management, could have been avoided with a better standard of care in the Team Liquid setup, but they didn't do that. They didn't have any of that. And you can see that they even got the guy to put a statement out, the player, and saying, look, I was depressed, I had frustrations going on, I was frustrated at my own personal development, but now I've developed a lot more, and, unfortunately, it hasn't been easy, and this is what all led up to my suspension. Now, the suspension then led into retirement, like almost immediately after, which is crazy because Quaz was a really decent player. And as I said, a nice guy. And this is a fucking mess. This is a shit show. If somebody has an emotional breakdown, you don't push them into retiring from the game entirely, saying, hey, be a streamer, but you're not going to play professionally. And this is how it works in League of Legends. I'm sure Riot actually fully endorsed this, perhaps even encouraged it. What you do is you say, mate, take some fucking time, get healthy, get better, come back when you're ready. We'll always be the door open for you. Because this was an incident predicated on mental health problems. And as I said, maybe one day we'll tell that story because it is shocking. But Team Liquid didn't handle this situation particularly well. Now I'll also draw your attention to Piglet. Piglet, another legendary player in League of Legends, came to Team Liquid. And again, you know, they to be fair, hang on, I'll come back for this. To be fair, they did really spend a lot of money on trying to help bed Piglet in. They met him, they took him out for Korean barbecue, they had two translators at the organization, so in case one was ever ill or sick, there would always be someone to facilitate the communication. But equally as well, when Piglet started, having an incident where he was trolling, I'll just try and bring that up again. Are we going to do that, please? No, okay. We'll fix that in a second. But when there was an incident where he was basically trolling in team select and getting upset with the way the team was working and stuff, they just dropped him immediately, brought in a substitute player. And he always had this really fractious relationship. And you can see, look, it's only fair for us to give Piglet another chance. When we benched him, we gave him this big list of things we wanted him to improve on. When we started scrimming with him in the morning blocks, he had improved on them. So it was like, look, you know, on the one hand, I think it's bold to drop a star player for disciplinary reasons. But, I mean, this is kind of day and night in a way. You know, they're either too hands-on with a star player who everybody knew coming in had idiosyncrasies. And they also tried to frame this ludicrous reality of where their reserve player was. Maybe he's as good. No, nowhere near as good. Piglet was a fucking world beater in his prime, so no. But Team Liquid had problems there as well. And again, why can you not head off these problems before they occur? You know, sure, we all know star players, competitors, they have egos. I've been a coach. I've done it myself. I've been a manager in esports. I've handled this sort of problem. You can usually see these problems coming if you hand on, you know, your team, you know, your squad, right? But no. Once again, Team Liquid has kind of fucked it up and made things a lot more difficult, in my opinion, than it had to be. Then, on top of that, we had, obviously, the one that we all know is the Simple issue. Now, Simple, one of the best players in Counter-Strike, no doubt, one of the best players in World Counter-Strike, definitely comes with his own baggage, gets away with quite a fair bit, in my opinion. But here you go. This is what happened. You remember when Simple and GB James, that's James O'Connor, their coach, departed among a huge internal rift. And I did a report on this. And again, Team Liquid hated this. They hated that I was reporting about this. Same as they've always hated everything I've ever reported and written about them ever. So basically, what had happened here was they brought Simple in. Huge move. But then Simple had to leave, and it was insane to me because they'd had a performance where Simple had really helped propel them into relevancy, And if you look at just the achievements that Simple had done, you know, while he played with them. And this is the first stint, the first time he left, because keep in mind, he was a player and not a stand-in. But, you know, he had done so much with them. You know, he runners-up at ESL, you know, won Cologne. And of course, they had that quarterfinals at Columbus, which was the first time that they came around. And they lost to the eventual winners, which was the start of the Brazilian era of dominance within Counter-Strike. So the idea that shortly after that, in April of 2016, this amazing player is going to be out the door. Well, again, something's going to be wrong. Something's very wrong if that's happening. Now, Simple always said it's because he didn't want to live in America. And I can totally understand that. I mean, I live in America myself. I love it out here. Simple says he thinks it's a great country. But Simple's very connected to his family, his girlfriend and stuff. And if you know anything about the player, it was always going to be hard. Now, there's probably ways around that, but maybe there isn't. Maybe not without spending more than the player is worth. But this doesn't tell the full story, because I believe there's compromises and things you can do. The reality is Simple was never going to explore those compromises because he was having a terrible time on the team. And I'll quote you some of the sources that gave me my information here from this report. And keep in mind, Simple himself went on stream, much like Kiko did, and look what he had to say about it. He said, first of all, they promised me that I would have a good role that I like, the Ukrainian said on a stream after viewers in the Twitch chat asked questions about sudden departure. It's going to be an AWP role. Then they bring in Kooster and he can't play with rifle. And I want to play with AWP as well. And they told me no. So immediately, you've got a star player. And like, look, Kooster's the young blood, certainly. He broke the bank for him, brilliant. But Simple's fucking Simple. You do what he wants. This is the nature of the beast. Simple wasn't saying anything other than, I just want the role that you promised me, by the way. He wasn't making outlandish demands. He was just saying, I just want to AWP like you promised me we could. And then he continued and he said, we were going to have a boot camp and there was no boot camp. So I'm living alone in Los Angeles. Everyone else is at home. They can meet their friends, do whatever they want. And I said, okay, well, look, when we do boot camp, let's do it in Europe so I can visit my family. And Team Liquid said no. They said no. So when he told management that they didn't like the situation, they just basically started scheming internally about how we can kind of, you know, get rid of him. How are we going to make this one work out? How are we going to make the money? Who are we going to sell him to? And look, here's the sources that told me. Everything was fine going into the major. Simple could be difficult to play with, but James, that was the former coach, had taken a focusing on him to try and make sure he didn't argue with the other players. After the major, though, they had a big fight with Simple. We had a big fight when Simple criticized some of his teammates for not performing well enough. They said he was a perfect teammate at the major, but afterwards he was just an asshole. Then they went and said they weren't willing to play with him anymore. Now, let's get to the crux of the matter. This is where we start tying all of this together. So, keep in mind, we've got Hiko, who's come in, the one-time star player. But then, as Team Liquid continually improved, Hiko himself recognized he was going to have to not be the star. He was going to fall down the pecking order, probably down the salary order too. And he watched Simple come in, he watched Kooster come in. And Hiko's just the middle-of-the-pack guy, the glue in the team, just wants to win things, by the way. Hiko's primary motivation is to win things. That's it. So he's accepted this with good grace. But there were two people in that team that didn't accept it with good grace. And it was Elysian Nitro. They thought Simple was a fucking asshole. You know, because Simple was banging his fists and getting upset in games and fucking going over the top. And, you know, he's a young guy. He's a young guy, also a perfectionist, wants to win things. And it was those guys who basically said to the organization, it's, you know, him or us. Now, you might say, well, okay, we just keep Simple. But you don't do that because you can see Simple is already having these problems saying, hey, can I visit my family? Can we have the boot camp in Europe? I need to be close to my family. And people are getting worried about him being homesick. Equally as well, just on the basis, regardless of talent, you're already betting in one young American. You're trying to make the bulk of your team North American for obvious reasons, for all of the tournament stipulations that are going on. you're going to have two American players walk out on you to keep one Ukrainian. It's bad business. So, unfortunately, this is what happened. Simple had to go. Simple was the make weight. And this is what really kind of started the whole issues, you know, that they've had. And that right there is a big starting point for everything Hiko is talking about. Because it also coincides with Elige suddenly developing into one of the best, if not the best, players in North America. So, Elige, I'm going to show you here his form guide in HLTV terms. Take a look at this fucking curve for a player who's on the fucking up. It's insane, the level of improvement that Elige has had. And there he is. Jonathan Jablonowski, 19 years of age, and look at this, right? So this is where he is. These are, you know, these are like above average stats, okay? These are like very good stats. He has a little dip here, and then just look at this climb. Fucking just electric form, red hot, just playing so fucking well across multiple maps, repeatedly performing, doing it time after time again, career high form, right? He is the guy on the team until Twists recently joined with the highest rating, the highest stats. This was the fucking new star. The new star is the guy they'd had all along. Okay? So this creates a huge problem. And it's one Hiko talked about. Elige realized in that moment where Simple was deemed surplus. You know, the org is backing Elige over Simple. Yeah, it's not just Elige, but we're just talking about Elige now. So they're backing Elige over a player like Simple. Now Elige, who's had to deal with, again, I'll say it, some pretty shitty contracts and some pretty shitty deals over at Team Liquid. I don't think he's always been appreciated as a player. Elige is somebody who's thinking, well, yeah, fuck it, it's my time. And unfortunately, because he's now just also become the new star on the team, he realizes he can get his way. And Hiko was one of the targets of this. Hiko talked about this extensively. Every time somebody underperformed or played poorly, Elige used to say, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm better than this. You guys have really got to step up your game. Now, that might be true, but you know as well as I do, you don't want to hear that from your teammates. Your teammates, it's got to be, you know, yeah, we're all in this together. And if you are a star player and brilliant and mercurial and you're going to carry the team and you're going to, you know, lead us to the promised land, you still got to frame it in a way that, look, just do this for me and I'll do the rest. I'll do the heavy lifting. We all know how good I am, right? I've got this, okay? And you take the extra pressure. You take pressure off your teammates by saying, don't you fucking worry. Just do this for me and I'll do the rest. It's on me, right? That's what a lot of even the most egotistical star players do. They do make it all about themselves, but not in a way that diminishes the efforts of their teammates. You know, to think of an example of this as a sporting reference, I remember Eric Cantona, described Didier Deschamps, a legendary French midfielder, played for Juventus, won multiple titles there and throughout his career, now a successful coach. He was described as the water carrier. And in Cantona's mind, I think that was a very derogatory term. It was an insult. But to everybody else, you're like, yeah, he does carry the water. Deschamps was a hard-tackling midfielder. He'd win the ball, distribute it to the more talented players, and you need that. You need that. So this is the thing. You can't piss on the water carriers. It's got to be water they're carrying, not piss. So that was happening, and Elige was doing this. And this isn't a secret, by the way. Everyone in fucking North America knows this, right? But there was other things going on. He wasn't just saying, you've got to step your game up. He was talking about leaving. He was talking about leaving the team, saying, oh, I'm done with this. I don't want to play with you anymore. I'm going to leave. Now, crucially, it wasn't just that he was going to leave. He was even talking at one point, if you can get your fucking head around this, and I don't know if this was bluff or bravado or just something to say because it seemed plausible and it might get the cogs ticking amongst his teammates, but he was even talking about going and playing Overwatch. One of the best American players was even saying, look, I got an option to go play Overwatch. And this is, he was filling in for the for their Overwatch roster in a Beyond the Summit Overwatch Cup. And actually, Elise is a decent player. You know, he probably could play at a high level in Overwatch. And he kept, you know, sticking that in there and saying, this is what I'm going to do. This is an option open to me that's not open to you. If you keep dragging me down, I'm going to go do that, right? Because I can't do this. I've had enough of this. I've had enough of dropping 40 and losing games, right? Now, that said, Elige has always had a mindset that he can pick up any game and be good at it. And I first heard of Elige when I used to cover StarCraft. And Elige was a young guy back then. You know, I think he was 15 when he started playing StarCraft. And he was decent. You know, decent level StarCraft player. Elige is phenomenally talented as an esports competitor. No doubt about it. But obviously, we all know that Hiko, right? Simple's gone, okay? And other people are coming in. Hiko comes in, right? Hiko's there. Hiko's a former teammate. Elige now thinks Hiko is washed up, isn't performing well, his numbers aren't good, and why the fuck should we have to listen to what Hiko's got to say? Hiko being a senior player, you know, I think he's like nine years older than Elige, is obviously expecting a certain level of respect, of input, you know, and why not form a one-time star in the team? No, but Elige isn't having it. It's kind of got to the stage where it's now Elige's way or no way. Pimp comes in, fantastically talented player, but I'll tell you this, it was never going to work. Once that mindset in the team was established, Jacob's been there before. He didn't want to be in an environment again. Think about Danish teams. Think about the teams Jacob's played in. And sometimes he's been a prick himself and he knows it. But this was meant to be the fresh start for him, and unfortunately he's walked into another ego fest, and it's just demoralized him. His play's dropped off the face of the earth, and again, Elige doesn't rate him, and doesn't people, you heard from Hiko on that stream, people didn't even want to sit next to him. How fucking childish that you make Hiko be the guy who's got to sit next to him because you don't like him because he's raging. Why not pull him on one side? Why not put your arm around him and say, listen, bro, like, can you do this for me? Like, it's going to help me. And I know you want to help me, and like, you know, maybe we've had some arguments, we haven't seen eye to eye. I mean, crucially, why isn't there a manager acting as a go-between and fixing all of this? Because I'll tell you from my experience as a manager, conflict resolution was 90% of the job. That was it. You know, two players are arguing, what about? We can't decide who's going to play where or whatever. Right, listen, this is how we fix this. Let's do it. And you move forward. No one's doing this in Team Liquid, quite obviously. And I'm saying quite obviously, I mean, I know nobody is doing this in Team Liquid. The players have pretty much been left to themselves, and it's become this battle for egos. And Elige is the winner. He's the dominant guy because he's got the ego, but he's got the stats to back him up. And he's got a very successful hold, if you like, over the organization. Now, Elige was done. He was literally done with the team. He wasn't going to go to Overwatch. He wasn't going to go anywhere else. My sources have indicated to me he was out the door, and Hiko backed this up on his stream when I said it in the chat on his stream that he was going to go to Optic Gaming. Now, Optic Gaming, I don't know if it'll be a great fit, but it would be a super exciting team. The Stan as in-game leader with Elige coming in, that could have, yeah, I don't know who it would have been for. But, you know, maybe Naf, I don't know. But it would have been super exciting to me. And that's one of the things that I like about Hector. Hector as an owner is exactly the same as the Team Liquid mindset, except Hector backs it up a lot better and the end results are better. You know, he picked up this team when they were nowhere and everyone said they were a disgrace and shouldn't be representing the Optic brand and turned them into title winners. Maybe not him, but he gave him the tools. He gave him the environment to do so. I'm sure Elise is looking over at that and saying, yeah, I'd love to be involved in something like that. Fuck, I'd love to win titles. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, I don't want any more runners-up. Runners-up. I can't dine off on runners-up at the major for the rest of my life. So, Hector was going to break the bank. I don't even want to think about what the buyout for Elige would have been. Because I'm pretty sure they renegotiated contracts. you know? But let's just think again, right, about the overall morale level. Team Liquid, for me, have a very strong roster. I think they can be a lot further up the food chain than where they are right now. And the reason they're not is morale is so fucking low. And they've got a bunch of guys who, like, want to win and are generally positive, but the chemistry's off. The interpersonal chemistry's off. And unfortunately, that does go back to Elige. Now, Elige leaving might have been the shot in the arm for the other guys. Sometimes, five players, no matter how good they are, it's not going to work. And sometimes, a star player leaving can be the thing that elevates everybody else, right? We've got our room now. We've got our time to shine. Let's go do this. Let's go prove the doubt is wrong. Can give everyone a lift. And it can have a positive effect. Certainly, we're not going to know now because the deal fell through at the last minute, at the 11th hour. I have no idea what it was. I don't know if it was money. I don't know if Elige changed his mind. You know, I don't know if Team Liquid just pulled out because they thought, fuck it, we really got to keep hold of Elige, actually. Or we're going back to Counter-Strike obscurity. I don't know why, but it did fall through. And I'm pretty sure Optic are fucked off about it because it would have been a huge coup for them. And I'm pretty sure the players who are now stuck on Team Liquid, or, you know, were fucked off about it. But here's where I want to kind of bring it back, you know, and just say everything points to Elige being the problem in this sense, right? But let's try and empathize a little bit here. Elige has gone from being just another player in North America to one of the best. I mean, for me, he's in the top three in terms of overall value. You know, I might rate Stewie and Rush above him, but that can change, you know, but they're my top three players. I think if you got those three on a fucking team together, like, worlds would collide. Like, I think if you get those three, an established in-game leader and a really fucking strong AWP player, I think, holy shit, like, NA can win championships again, because the talent's there, but whatever. But when it's your time, right? You know when it's your time. You know when you're at your best. You know when you're at your peak. That's when you've got to convert it into something. And Hiko knows this better than anybody. Hiko was the one who wanted out of Cloud9 and wanted to go to another team because he knew he was at his peak and he knew that he wasn't going to win trophies if things stayed the way they were there. So in a lot of ways, what Hiko was kind of pushing for at Cloud9 is very similar to what Elige was pushing at Team Liquid. Maybe they didn't go about it in the same way. Maybe they didn't handle it the same way. But I've heard stories from Cloud9 that Hiko wasn't always a peach to work with himself. And this is what I mean about empathy and understanding. That Elige is in the prime of his career right now. He's 19. This is his career high. This is his career peak. He doesn't know if this is it. If this is it, he doesn't know if he's ever going to be this good again. What if he isn't? The doubts, the cogs. He's got to turn this into, if he's money motivated, cash, cold hard cash, endorsement deals, bigger salary, longer contracts. Or if he's motivated by championships, which I believe he is, knowing on what I've heard behind the scenes, hearing him talk to me myself, you know, don't forget, we talked, he was on the desk at the major we did for Ely. I think he just wants to fucking win things. And he's terrified if he stays with those players who he doesn't think are good enough. He won't. And his time will go and he'll drift back into obscurity. And he'll just be another North American player who could have maybe done something. That kind of fear, that kind of uncertainty, certainly will make you act like a jerk. And certainly will make you perhaps say things that you don't really there's a malice attached to it, but it's the fear, it's the terror, right? It's the terror of mediocrity, of obscurity. So yeah, I think this is all true. Now, Elige did put out after Hiko's stream, he did put out a twitlonger. And I'm just going to try and bring that up. I should have actually prepared that better. And he described it as my thoughts on the recent situation. Now, there wasn't a situation. It was just Hiko giving his perspective about how Elise was really difficult to play with, wanted out of the team, had made a pretty bad environment for everyone else on the team. And there you go. And he said, I'd like to talk about some of the criticism I've recently received from Hiko. Some of them are true, but most of them don't accurately convey the whole story. And now, just on that point, I mean, certainly everything Hiko said rings true to me. Obviously I know it's a one-sided account. We can only tell stories from our own perspective. But it says, I acknowledge that I have not always been the best teammate, and I'm sorry. What happened in the past is behind me, and I'm grateful it happened because I learned from it. Two aspects of being a good teammate that I'm actively working on are communication and leadership, and I feel like I've significantly improved in those areas over the past 6 months. I think this is the best iteration of the Team Liquid roster we've ever had. Now, this is crazy to me, honestly, to say that, because they definitely have had stronger rosters. Right now, the team is Elige, Nitro, JDM, Stan, and Twists. And there's a lot of potential in there, but potential's just that, it's potential. So I disagree, but I guess results will tell, you know. The atmosphere is the best it's ever been. Everyone is happy with their roles. We mesh really well as a team. Having a young and up-and-coming talent such as Twist join the team has inspired me to take a more active leadership role and has enabled me to focus on the important thing, winning. I'm really optimistic about the short and long-term future of this team, and I hope you root for us all this weekend at DreamHack Austin, which I'm not going to bring up. I'm not going to talk about the results that happened there. Video's already long enough. But let's look at what they've had to do. Twist is a phenomenal talent. No doubt about it. A lot of... I'm very excited to see him develop and flourish. And I think Stan is an in-game leader under which he can do it. But it's interesting, isn't it? I don't think you'll ever see a big star name go to Liquid again. And there's a chance that even, JDM might leave. I don't know. JDM is a star player who's also having some issues with his own levels of performance, and I put it down to him not being able to, because he's a very positive kind of guy, and when he's in a negative environment, it does affect him. It affects his ability to concentrate and his ability to play. So I don't know. I think Team Liquid are now resigning themselves to never ever being able to pick up a star player because they cannot get a handle on dealing with all of these egos. And as I said, I don't blame Elige. I think Elige has to have that level of confidence that he's gonna, his way's the best way. But he's definitely not handled himself as a gracious teammate and definitely been an issue. He wants to win things. Sure, everybody does. Some more than others. Some are willing to do things that others aren't to win. I think, unfortunately, this could have all been nipped in the bud with a stronger management, a firmer hand, and we wouldn't be here. We might actually have a much more exciting Team Liquid lineup with bigger names all pulling in the same way. But basically, I wanted to kind of come out and do this video, just kind of back up a little bit of what Hiko was saying, because I've got a lot of time for Spencer. He's on point. But also, I wanted to say that all the people who I've seen lots of it, like, oh, Elige is a dickhead and a scumbag. You don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like, and you'll probably never know what it's like to be amazingly talented in a team sport, to be the star player on a team, and to continually fail, and to feel that frustration, that what have I got to do? Some people handle it very well, others don't. But it doesn't make somebody a bad person inherently just because they can't deal with that, especially at fucking 19. Understand that in real sports, a 19-year-old star player is very fucking rare, right? You can be the talented one, you can be the up-and-comer, you can be the one to watch. Very rare. The expectations, the hopes, the weight of the entire team is on your shoulders at 19. In esports, that's actually a regular occurrence. And it's no fucking wonder people don't always handle it well. So, just give it some thought. Anyway, hope this was illuminating and interesting. I know it was a long one, but yeah, that's what we do. That's what we do on the Richard Lewis channel. So thanks a lot for watching. I'll definitely see you on the next video. Take care.